We mostly, when we pray, we want something. You're in difficulties, you pray. And Baha'u'llah, in fact, and Abdu'l-Bahá have left for us many such prayers, which in which we read and we beg God for various things. But what I was trying to say was that if a person grows spiritually and becomes more and more closer to Baha'u'llah, he reaches a point that he doesn't want anything for himself. It's not something that you must do it now, but it's a matter of growth. That all that you want is to praise God. All that you want is to turn to Him, is to glorify Him. But it's only a matter of growth. It is not a matter of compulsion that now, from now on, we must go and pray without any desire. We can't do it. And this is why Baha'u'llah and Abdu'l-Bahá have known our weaknesses. And all these prayers that you have, which says, "Oh God, I am in need, I am in this way, I am in that way, give me this, give me that," it's all because of our weaknesses. That when you become stronger, you don't want anything but the cause of God to grow, but to get closer to God. And this is the meaning of prayer without desire.
That's what I was wondering. Desire in the sense of desiring the presence of God.
Yes.
That's not what you're talking about.
No.
Desiring the nearness of God
is, yes,
always something.
Yes. 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 Well, surely you can teach them, but they are not obliged to say it. They cannot say it until, or they shouldn't say it until they are 15. The age of 15 is an age in which Baha'is will attain the age which becomes binding on them to carry out the laws of Baha'u'llah. But it's a good thing for them to know that they can say it, they must say it when they grow older. Now, how you can instruct them, yes, but they must know it's not a part of their life then until they become 15. There and then here, I'll just... Oh yes, I always, that was a subject I meant to say and I forgot it. But it's too late now. Well, I'll mention it. Right. That's an important thing. Let us finish that one. Would you like me to do this?
Yes.
You see, this is a very important point. I said I've met many believers who were very deep in the faith, who had read the writings of Baha'u'llah, as many as they could find. So much they have read practically all the writings of Abdu'l-Bahá. They have known all the history of the faith. They were the most erudite Baha'is we could have, the most knowledgeable. But they really didn't understand the faith until Shoghi Effendi came in. Now, the best way I can explain it to you is like this. If you read all the writings of Baha'u'llah and Abdu'l-Bahá alone and all the history of the faith, you will not understand the faith necessarily. I will give you this example. You see, Baha'u'llah, have you seen these boxes which you give to children as gift called jigsaw puzzles? Now, when you look at the jigsaw puzzle, you will find it has a lot of pieces in it. And as you look at each piece is valid, isn't it? It's valid piece, it's valid, it's truth. It's good, it's right. But you look at each piece, they are not related to each other so much. And so you have a box full of items which are right and good and valid. But where is that picture? Now the faith is like that. Baha'u'llah and Abdu'l-Bahá have given us all the truths that we want to have. All the truth of this faith they have brought for us. They have given to us like this box, full of it. Now, the function of Shoghi Effendi during the 36 years of his ministry was to put this together for us and give us a picture of what it is all about, relate them together. He related all that Baha'u'llah and Abdu'l-Bahá had brought together and said, "This is the Baha'i faith." Now, he never added one dot to the... Now, this is one thing that some of the friends may not realize. People think that Shoghi Effendi has given us his own views in the faith and added so many things to it. Not at all. Shoghi Effendi has not added one dot to the revelation of Baha'u'llah. All that he has done He has explained to us, elucidated that as the interpreter of the Word of God, applied it for us. He put together really all that the faith had. He explained to us the function of various elements in the faith, the relationships together, how the laws should be applied, how the teachings should be applied. This is his function. And therefore, not until you read the writings of Shoghi Effendi can you fully appreciate the faith. This is why I said that we had great learned men during the heroic age of the faith, before Shoghi Effendi comes into the scene, who had known all the writings, or some of the writings, a great deal of it. They were very learned people, beautiful people, very spiritual, spiritual giants, as I call them, really. But really, when you look at it, they had not understood the whole perspective of the faith. In its perspective, they hadn't seen it. And it was Shoghi Effendi who gave it to us. And to me, this is the greatest task that he performed for us. He put together what Baha'u'llah and Abdul Baha brought to us. He formed it, he showed it to us, and he said, this is it. And he gave us the pattern. Now, this is why I feel it's so important for us, if we want to understand the faith, to read his writings. Half of his writings are in English, and half of it are in Persian. But what you have in English is quite sufficient to give us his guidance. And then you can read the... But so you know, really, when you become a Baha'i, you enter into a field, of a vast field, which has no end to it. No Baha'i can say, well, I have exhausted it now, I'm glad, I'm finished, I'm going to retire. You can't do that. As long as we live, we still have scope to read the writings of Baha'u'llah and understand a little bit of it, read the writings of Abdul Baha, read the writings of Shoghi Effendi, read the history of the faith. And I can literally tell you, if you want to take it seriously, you have no time to read anything else. You won't have the time to read the books that people write about the faith either. You won't have the right time. It's impossible to read all the books that people write about the faith. Can't do that. You have no time for it. You have no time unless in the future again a machinery is created for us which can condense all the things in one flash and push it into your mind. Maybe this is something in future people might do it for us. But I cannot believe that you can do all of this. It's impossible to read all his writings and then try to see what other people think of. And then there is another aspect to it, the writings. And I mention this to you, and some of you may be surprised to hear this. If you read the writings of Baha'u'llah and Abdul Baha and Shoghi Effendi, you don't need to read anything else. You will understand everything. And of course, I'm not saying you shouldn't learn science and technology. Baha'u'llah says we must learn science and technology and all the sciences and arts. But all those knowledges that people acquire, which begins with word and end with word, will be useless for you. Because here have all the answers to every question that you want is here. And maybe tomorrow we will also talk about this aspect of knowledge and learning a little bit. So now I think we must close the session really because of the time is so short. But maybe we can...
I have two alternative remarks. The same contradiction, if you go to the book sale committee and buy a ring, the right type, with a diamond, sometimes in the package you get a little folded up instruction by the one hand to cause how to wear this and so on. I think it's a beautiful little thing, but anyway, your right hand. If you read, I'm not sure it's a chapter, Abu Baha, or whether it's part of the rest of the thing, but Abu Baha says, unless it's closest to the heart. Do you think this is bad translation?
So what? What is the heart? What is closest to the heart? I didn't hear it.
The little finger on the left
hand. Oh, yeah. Well, yes, these are probably the things. I think these are not essential things at this present time for us to go and follow. There are some things which will gradually become established when the House of Justice finds us the time they'll instruct us and all these things. These are secondary things. Well, friends, I hope that you haven't been very tired today. I'll collect all these. If you had also cared, you could write some of your questions. Would be all right. I can collect them in here, and this way I could maybe formulate it in the talks tomorrow. I understand that some of you may not be here on Monday, so that we will try tomorrow to bring in a good deal of the things which I feel may be of some help, if it is of any help. So, with your permission, we'll end up this meeting. No, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Well, friends, your love and your beautiful faces have so affected me since yesterday that I feel moved to pray to Baha'u'llah that this community may become a jewel in the whole Baha'i world, really, because you are jewels. I mentioned yesterday or day before how much the early believers at the time of Baha'u'llah would have longed to see one of you who have embraced his faith in the Western world. Especially in all these remote areas. And I know that your country has a great destiny. Someone was telling us at the National Assembly meeting here that the people of this country and probably Ireland are the people who will, the countries, who will bring great numbers into the faith in the Western world. And I hope very much that this will happen. You know, the powers of earth and heaven are working for us to promote the faith, provided we arise and provided we turn to Baha'u'llah. Once we turn to ourselves, then nothing will happen. Once you rely on yourself, nothing will happen. But if you turn to him and rely on him and bring him with you, then all kinds of things will happen. And time is short, really. The world is set for great upheavals and sufferings which will encompass mankind. And during this short period of time, we have to prepare ourselves for the time that great numbers are going to knock on our doors in the middle of night and tell us, now we know what you are saying. Please tell us what should we do. We have to prepare ourselves for that day, because that day will come. You know, the world conditions will deteriorate. There is no doubt about it. This is what Baha'u'llah has said. Over 100 years ago, Baha'u'llah said that if the believers of, if his believers, those of his time, had recognized him, if they had carried out his teachings with absolute sincerity and faithfulness, then the whole world, the great majority of the world, would have recognized Baha'u'llah in his day. But this did not happen, and so now we have to reap the or bear the consequences of mankind's failure to recognize him, and the leaders of the world whose the message of Baha'u'llah fell on deaf ears when they received it. All of these consequences will result in the breaking up of this old order. And day by day, as Baha'u'llah has mentioned, day by day the conditions will become worse. It's not something which will become worse month by month, but day by day. That today will be worse than yesterday. And this is our experience also. We can see it with our own eyes. From every point of view, morally, spiritually, socially, economically, politically, society will break up and is breaking up at a terrific speed. until what Baha'u'llah has said will become fulfilled. And then he said that suddenly, he uses the word suddenly, suddenly that will happen which will cause the limbs of mankind to quake. That is a tremendous upheaval which will face us all. And from what Shoghi Effendi has written, it's not going to be a small thing. The limbs of mankind, the whole human society, will quake. And then Baha'u'llah gives us the vision of what happens after that. Immediately after that. And not after that, but immediately after. Because he says, then and only then. Then and only then. I paraphrase his words, will the divine standard be unfurled. And the nightingales will warble their melodies. Which means, there and only then, the cause of God will be widespread over the world. It will be proclaimed and great numbers will come into the faith. We have to prepare ourselves for that day. And our institutions, which we are building today, are going to be those institutions which are going to guide humanity. As torches, he says, these will become beacons of light, which will guide humanity at the time of its greatest peril. Now, we are not going to go into this subject now. I didn't mean to talk about this particular aspect. And we know that the institutions of the faith, the cause of God, is protected in all these calamities and sufferings which are to happen. And I believe, and Shoghi Effendi has in fact indicated these things, I believe very firmly that if any believer dedicates himself fully to the progress of the cause, for the advancements of the faith, God will protect him. I'm not saying that we should now go and teach the faith so that we may save our neck in the future difficulties. This is not at all the right motive. Not far from it. I'm saying this. God will protect the believers so that those who are steadfast in the cause and dedicate yourself. You know, the early believers that I met when I was young, if I tell you this, you may not believe this. They had the power of life and death in their own hands. They had reached to such powers. God had given them such powers that they had the power of life and death. And they used it to protect, to propagate the faith, to enlarge its institutions and its society, communities. This is because they had faith. If you have faith to that extent that we have faith, our powers will be to that extent of your faith. And Baha'u'llah mentions those who have been, who have become detached from the things of this world. And when you become detached, you know, it means that you will become attached to Baha'u'llah. And that's the meaning of it, really. The only barrier we have between us and Baha'u'llah is our attachment to the things of this world. Once we become detached from it, then we will find that the powers of Baha'u'llah will descend upon us. And this is when things will happen. Well, friends, I don't want to talk about this subject at all, but as I said, the marvelous spirit which is created in this meeting, I feel it from yourselves, from you people. And I know that when I return back, I shall be very much uplifted by having met you and having come to your presence. I want to continue the subject we were discussing yesterday. Now, I'm not going to repeat what I have said yesterday, but I feel that those of you who are here may be able to follow the thread of the discussions. And those of